Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We are discussing possible candidates that could fill the Falcons defensive coordinator position. And so yesterday we talked about a couple guys, one that has been here before and Jeff Ulbrich, who's most recently the interim head coach with the Jets. We also discussed Steve Wilks, who is the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Of course, he had a long history with the Carolina Panthers earlier on in his career. And then we headed on over to Falcons.com this morning, and that's where we checked out Tori McElhaney's article, in which she highlights those candidates as well as a few others. And Brandon Staley is who we could start with first, who was the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers prior to this season. So he is now someone that could possibly fill a defense. If you remember, his defenses had been traditionally really good with the Chargers, and then things kind of unraveled for him in that last season.
Well, he was known for his head coaching tenure will be known for terrible decisions, a lot of which made on fourth down calls with when they have the ball. Never really got the most out of Justin Herbert. Of course, I know Herbert made the playoffs this year, and he's getting blamed for a lot of stuff that happened in that loss to the Texans, although it's hard to throw and catch the ball for the receivers, and some of those interceptions went right through the hands.
He didn't play well.
He didn't.
No.
But you also can't bat the ball up in the air and have it intercepted. They didn't play well as a team. I didn't think anybody played well in that game but the Texans defense. But
I had two Chargers games last season when I believe they both resulted in losses, if I can remember correctly who they played. But it was a rough ending there.
What was the I can't remember the quarterback's name that was playing for Justin Herbert when he got injured. Do you remember his name?
I can picture his face, but I have
Easton
to go through
Stick.
My
there
Thank you,
go. You,
yes.
Easton Stick. Yeah, there was definitely a couple of those games where you're like, this is probably the end. This is probably the end. Like,
yeah, the first one we had with Justin Herbert, and then the last one was with Easton Stick.
Yeah, and the first year that Staley really called a defense was the 2020 Rams, and that was when he just burst on the map because this is the guy that kind of followed Vic Fangio around in a lot of ways in Chicago and then also in Denver. But then he made that jump in 2020 to D.C. of the Rams, which was a good group.
A good group, yeah.
Had Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, to mention a few guys. And they led the league in points per game allowed, which was 18.5. That was when he jumped on the map.
And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the defense did struggle, and that was one of the big things, if I'm recalling the games that I worked sideline for. The defense did struggle, and that was also a big point of contention because that's his thing, right? That's what he was really good at. But when you had the talent that they had, too, with the Chargers defense, that is what was most frustrating for that team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, I think he's an intriguing type of guy because, you know, Raheem Morris brings in people that he's familiar with, but I don't know how much familiarity he actually has with Brandon Staley. And, of course, Brandon Staley being a former head coach, I think I think most Falcons fans look at it and say, hey, the defense coordinator, I'd love it if the guy was a former head coach and somebody that made decisions, game management, clock decision at the end of the half, somebody who had experience with that. And that's what's so interesting about Brandon Staley coming up is like, you feel like his game management skills were less than stellar when he was head coach. So it's like, yeah, you would definitely want a former head coach probably in this role if you can, just to give Raheem Morris some more backing, some more eyeballs on the game and the situation and clock management. But I don't know that Brandon Staley's that guy necessarily. And his track record is good, but it's not extensively long. And so I think that there's something there. And I think that, looking a little bit more into his background, it's definitely interesting. But, I'll be curious to see where he lands and what his interest level is because he seems to have a pretty cush spot right now.
Yeah, he's at in San Francisco.
Yeah, currently assistant head coach.
And now, so you got Jerry Gray right now in your assistant head coach role here in Atlanta. So I don't know if – are you willing to move on from a guy like Jerry Gray?
No.
I'm not either.
But this is also where they come up with titles. This is also where you hire a Brandon Staley and call me associate head coach. You
know, or the assistant to the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they come up with so many different titles for these kind of things, and they're all made up, dude. They're all sitting in a meeting room going this, that, and the other, and it's just a way to, you know, make those guys feel better about their roles moving forward. That's all it is.
You mean kind of like when you have interns that have, like, offensive assistant analyst or something?
Yeah, run game coordinator. You know, just all this other kind of stuff, man. It's crazy to me.
Another candidate that is on Tory's article is Sean Desai. He is currently with the Los Angeles Rams, who just played a game last night. He is a senior defensive assistant and associate head coach, and he's kind of I use the term bounced around, but not in a bad way necessarily. But he's had a couple of different stops, and so his time as defensive coordinator, he was with the Eagles for a period of time, didn't exactly go the way he wanted it to go. But now he is obviously on McVay's staff, and then you could draw the connection there too with Raheem Morris, having been the defensive coordinator with the Rams, someone that Sean McVay, they obviously have a great relationship and rapport, and so that could factor into possibly, you know, pulling somebody else over from the Rams staff to join the Falcons.
Yeah, I don't want to be dismissive because he could be the DC here, but it's a hard no for me. He took a defense in Philadelphia that allowed 20 points a game in 2022. He takes over, and the number jumps. And look, not all on him, but you're calling it, and that's why Jimmy Lake's not here. They jumped to 25.2 points in 23. There was a lot of issues on that 23 Eagles team, but they started out 10-3, and the defense never really was quite up to snuff. There's a lot of talent on that team. He also was the DC of the Bears in 21, and his defense that year allowed 23.9. So he's averaging over 24 points a game allowed as a DC. Again, I think I might have said this off the air. I'm not opposed to doing what Arthur Smith did when he got the job here. And that's going and getting an old head to call the defense, a guy that maybe you think is not up to, you know, not everybody has to be the youngest guy out there.
You want like a Vic Fangio coming in, someone like that?
Well, like a Dean Pease type of guy. You know what?
I was thinking Steve Spagnuolo is the prime example.
Well, he might.
He's a head coaching candidate right now.
Yeah, he got a couple interviews.
He'll get another run at. But he's exactly what you need with a guy like an Andy Reid. You go, all right, dude, you're an older guy. You've been around. You're a vet. Take the reins here. Like, it's all yours. And boy, has he ever. I mean, he's spearheaded some of the best defenses we've seen in a long time.
Let me ask you just real question. Why wouldn't you even talk to Jerry Gray?
I think you would.
Because he's been a DC probably total like nine seasons in the NFL. Yeah.
When's the last time Jerry Gray was a play caller? It's been a while. I want to say.
It looks like it was
2010?
Well, it was 2011 to 13 with the Titans. Now, he was the
pass game coordinator?
Green Bay before he came here. He was the pass game coordinator in Green Bay in 21 and 22 before he came
Buffalo.
Here.
That's where him and my dad crossed. That's right.
Oh, one.
Trying to remember. Yeah.
0-1-0-5 season.
Yeah.
To your point about Sean Desai, though, before we move on from him, I mean, he's been with so many different roles. It's honestly, you look at his resume, it's kind of hard to decide what he's been because he bounces around so much. You know what I mean? Like, 23, he's the defense coordinator in Philly, but 22, he's the associate head coach for the Seattle Seahawks and the defensive assistant. There's a couple of titles that say absolutely nothing. And then for the Chicago Bears in 2021, he obviously is the signal caller with them as their defense coordinator, and now he's the senior defensive assistant for the Rams. It's like I don't know that we know truly the impact he has.
It's viewed as a negative when it's a head coach. If you've bounced around a couple different spots, see, you can't get it done. I think it's a positive when you're a guy that's been around so many different teams.
It means you've seen a lot of different ways to do it.
It's like I said yesterday, there's not one way to do everything in the same world, right, or in the same business or the same game. So the more you learn the different ways to do things, I think you get a good blend of what could work.
Next candidate, and I think we kind of touched on him yesterday, but Robert Saleh, who most recently, you guys know this, was the head coach of the New York Jets for four seasons, but he really made a name for himself as a defensive coordinator for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan with that staff. So he was a full-time play caller there. That was his first time getting the opportunity, and that defense was really good.
How do I feel about this one? He checks the boxes. I think there's a lot of different things. Now, I think that you can kind of kill two birds with one stone, because Bo and I were watching Jets film this morning, and that's kind of got Robert Saleh and Jeff Olbrich kind of written all over it when you look at that situation. They had good players up front, and they obviously have been developed. They're explosive. When you look at what's gone on with both Q Williams, Quinnen and Quincy, in their career, you know, they've been good. They've been really good. And so you look at that up front, I think that that's a lot of things kind of moving in both those guys' category. And I love it. I know that people kind of roll their eyes and think of Robert Saleh just because of what they ended up with, but I don't know that anybody can truly be judged as a coordinator based off of head coaching a place like the New York Jets.
Well, that shouldn't be the same. And the defense wasn't always a problem there. I will say this about Olbrich and Saleh, to your point about the development. The 2016 draft class, Atlanta Falcons, helped propel them defensively, some of those guys, to the Super Bowl. Devondre Campbell, Deion Jones, those are guys that were developed by Jeff Olbrich. So when you and you talk about developing players, that I thought the 16 and the 17 and 18 to a cent coaching staff did a good job developing some players. That's why I don't have a problem with either one of those. I think it's a good point about the development, and that's one of the reasons you go get guys like that. Although I will say the mark against Olbrich is he was a big proponent of them drafting Tack McKinley, and it did not work out. So that's things I've heard from some people that were in the building at the time.